Hey everyone, this is John, and this is the Nintendo Show episode 47, the best damn Nintendo podcast on the internet. As you can tell, I am going solo for the official show here, in which I am going to talk about some news and gossip, as well as some new games that came out in August, as well as preview the month of September. And that's right, it's solo. It's just me. No one else. Everyone bailed. Sorry about that, everybody. But you're going to have to just deal with me. You can skip this one. I wouldn't blame you. But if you are going to stick with me, I'm going to jump right in with the news and gossip. And there is a whole lot to get to. I'm just going to start with the 12 Amiibo figures that are now available to pre-order, for example, on Amazon. These are the 12 near-field communication figures that Nintendo announced at E3. They will be $13 each, and the first run of figures are Mario, Peach, Link, Samus, Yoshi, Donkey Kong, Pikachu, Kirby, Fox, Marth, Villager from Animal Crossing, and the Wii Fit Trainer, and more will be on the way in the future. And they are some nice-looking figures. I might get one or two just to have them as like little collectible figures. They've got a lot of details of them. You know, they seem to be well worth the $13 price tag just in the production of them alone. So, yeah, it's definitely something I'm thinking about getting. I think Samus and Yoshi and Link are probably going to be the must-gets for me. And, you know, depending on how far they space out the releases of new runs, you know, I might end up collecting quite a few of them. In other news, there is some free stuff that you can get if you are buying both versions of Smash for Wii U and 3DS. If you buy them both and register them with Club Nintendo, you get a free music CD with music from the game, as well as from the games that inspired Super Smash Bros. So that's pretty cool. I still have very minimal interest in the 3DS version myself, so this is something that I'll probably be passing on. But speaking of Smash Bros., Shulk from Xenoblade Chronicles is going to be playable in Smash. Nintendo released a trailer for Shulk confirming what had been previously leaked out, which we'll get to later on. But Shulk will be playable in Smash, and he will have some Monada powers. He's another sword-wielding character, which doesn't really bother me at all. But he will have like different modes, like his Monado can activate like Monado Buster mode. He'll have a bigger smash damage, but do less like percentage damage. Or, you know, he can have his speed mode where he'll be faster but take more damage, that kind of thing. He'll have six different modes like that, which will be pretty cool. He seems to be a character who can kind of adjust to the type of people that he is battling. And in that leak that I mentioned before, we got wind of Dark Pit, Bowser Jr., and the dog from Duck Hunt also being in the game. No confirmation from Nintendo yet, but the leak seems to be pretty reliable so far, so you know, take that for what it's worth. Nintendo did announce a few new hardware bundles for the Wii U as well as the 3DS. Super Mario 3D World Deluxe Set will be launching in September, and that, of course, will be the Deluxe Wii U, Super Mario 3D World, and Nintendo Land. It will be $300, and they also announced a Walmart-exclusive Wii U bundle with Mario Kart 8. That's the Deluxe Wii U, Mario Kart 8, and Nintendo Land. So a couple of new bundles there, hopefully to push some hardware out the door. And Nintendo is also launching three new 2DS colors, red, green, and blue. And those will come with an eShop download for Mario Kart 7. And of course, all three will be $130, which is the price of a 2DS by itself. So we haven't gotten official word of the Super Smash Bros. Special Edition 3DS, but we are getting the bundle for that with a 2DS, which I assume we'll probably get that 3DS Super Smash Bros. Bundle announced relatively soon. Another 3DS that Nintendo announced during a Japanese-only 3DS is called the New 3DS, which is a new model of the 3DS that is slimmer, has a faster CPU, extra buttons, including some Z, L, and ZR triggers, as well as a second little analog nub near the buttons. It also has a rumor for more RAM. It has a wider range of viewing for games in 3D. And there will be two versions of it, a standard size as well as an XL size version. The standard version has interchangeable faceplates. For now, it's just announced for Japan, but this sort of hardware revision will probably go all over the world. And it's kind of like a half step in between the 3DS and probably whatever comes next. It's kind of like the Game Boy Color to what the Game Boy was, where it's not completely new hardware, but it will have exclusive games. For example, Xenoblade Chronicles was announced for the new 3DS. It won't play on your standard 3DS, but the new 3DS will, of course, play all standard 3DS games. I don't think it will have too many exclusive games, simply because it is just like a hardware half step. But you know, the extra processor will make downloading software easier. Hopefully, it'll make running some of the applications like Miiverse a little bit smoother as well. So it's pretty cool. We'll see what they do as far as a North American release. I assume we'll get it at some point, maybe the end of this year, maybe next year, and depending on what sort of software they announce exclusive for it, I might upgrade, but I'm really attached to my Yoshi XL. So the option for me is out there to upgrade, but I am not dead set on upgrading until I figure out what sort of software is going to be available for it. I never did upgrade from the DS Lite to the DSi because none of the software that was available for DSi was super compelling that made me just have to upgrade. So we did also get a bunch of game announcements from a Nintendo press release, which they probably could have done their very own North American Nintendo Direct for all the announcements that they were pumping out in this one press release. But for some reason, they just did like a written press release version and sent it out there, and a lot of news came out of it. So let's get right to it. Art Academy is scheduled to launch on Wii U this year in North America, which is good news because it kind of disappeared from release schedules, but now we're getting confirmation that, you know, the game still does exist, and this has been a game that's been kind of in limbo for a while, so it's nice to see that that still exists. Nintendo also announced Ultimate NES Remix for 3DS, and this is a NES Remix game that will have challenges from 16 different NES games. Regional online leaderboards in a championship mode. It's coming out December 5th for $30 on the 3DS. And it sounds like this is going to be entirely new challenges, but we'll have to wait and see. We don't even know what the 16 NES games are going to be. Hopefully, you know, they pick the good ones like they did for NES Remix 2. But there's also the possibility maybe they got some third-party stuff in there as well. So we'll have to wait and see what is going to happen with Ultimate NES Remix. They also confirmed NES Remix Pack for North America. That's coming out on the same day as Ultimate Remix for 3DS, December 5th, also going to be $30. And this is the retail version of NES Remix 1 and 2 that came out previously in Japan. So I guess this NES Remix kind of series is doing pretty well for them if they're willing to put out some retail software for it, which is pretty cool. I already have them both downloaded, so unless there's some sort of super awesome physical reward or digital reward for getting the physical version and already having the digital version, so I'll probably pass on it since I already own it. Also confirmed for coming to North America are DDD's Drum Dash Deluxe and Kirby Fighters, which came out previously in Japan. These are the little mini games in Kerbal Triple Deluxe. They are currently available on the 3DS eShop for $7 each. And this was something, you know, they must have been listening when me and Wes talked all those years ago about bringing some of the Kirby Mass Attack minigames onto DSiWare. But I don't know, I guess they just decided to wait for this one because it's pretty cool that they're making these available. I played them both for a little bit and I thought they were pretty cool, but I don't think I'm going to bother paying $7 for either one of them. But, you know, the second that they announce that little shooter game from Kirby Mass Attack is available on the eShop, I'm buying that one immediately. That game is fucking awesome. We also got wind of Yo-Kai Watch coming to non-Japanese markets next year, which would be pretty cool. It seems like a pretty cool little monster collecting RPG, and it's a huge hit in Japan, so it'd be nice to get that software on the 3DS, since we don't really know much about 2015 or what the 3DS landscape is going to look like next year. Also, Etrian Odyssey 2 is being made for the 3DS. It's coming in Japan later this year. But, you know, this series has a long-standing tradition of coming out in North America. All of the current games and remakes of the games have come out so far. So I don't see any reason why we wouldn't see this one in 2015. Also, a funny little announcement that we got is that Pokemon and Tekken are getting a crossover game called Pokken Tournament. This one currently is only coming to arcades in Japan in 2015, but most of the speculation is that it will also be a console game and, of course, come to Wii U. So we'll have to see if we get a localization for this one in North America, but it's a pretty cool little fighting game, obviously taking a lot of influences from Tekken, not only in its namesake, but in the fighting style. The trailer they showed Lucario fighting Machamp. It was a pretty cool little trailer. It's nice to see some more like branching out as far as like what they can do with the Pokemon franchise and trying new and weird and experimental stuff with it. A little bit of bad news is that Capcom has announced Resident Evil Revelations that it is real. It was just like a little leak that had come out earlier in the month, but they have since confirmed that Resident Evil Revelations is real and is coming to 360, Xbox One, PS3, PS4, and PC. And this particular news doesn't make me as angry as the Resident Evil remake not coming to Wii U, but it's a pretty close second. I mean, I was a bit more positive on Resident Evil Revelations the second time around that I played it, but it's not a super awesome game. It's solid, but not amazing. And it's just really disappointing that this particular franchise, which seems to do well on Nintendo systems, whether they're doing like Resident Evil 4 or the Umbrella Chronicles games or whatever they do with the series, seems to do fairly well for them on Nintendo systems, but they just don't give a shit enough to show us a little bit of love and put it on the platform that kind of spawned this sort of spin-off side story of the Resident Evil franchise. It is just absolutely outrageous that Capcom is shafting us once again. And if you listened to the show a couple of shows ago, you heard me go on a little bit of a rant about, you know, businesses doing things for business reasons. And I stand by what I was saying before. That's no fucking excuse. Like, I don't give a shit that Capcom has a business to run, and maybe it's not the smartest business decision to put a game on Wii U because hardware sales are low. I don't give a fuck. I would like to play this game, and I would like to play it on Wii U, and I think that in the past, Nintendo platform owners have shown that they will buy these particular games from this series. So how about a little bit of goodwill at Capcom? It could go a long way, but as it stands right now, I'm not pleased at all with what this particular company is offering on Nintendo platforms. So we got a few more game reveals. Well, one more real game reveal before I get into some of the other news. Renegade Kid revealed Zeo Drifter, which is a Metroid-style 2D action game that's coming to the 3DS eShop. Looks pretty cool. I think that means that their other game, Treasure Knots, I believe it was called, if I remember correctly, is kind of going on the back burner for now. Renegade Kid is a pretty cool little developer. They put out some pretty cool stuff, like the Dimension of the Ward series, the Mutant Muds game on Wii U and 3DS is a pretty cool little game. It seems like they're biting off a little bit more than they can chew, because they also, like, in the middle of developing Treasure Knots, and they were launching some other game, the Moon Chronicles remake for 3DS, they also tried to kickstart another project, the name of which escapes me right now. But they seem to try to take on all these different projects for whatever they feel like making, And I hope that they're able to see some stuff through to the end here, that they're not bogging themselves down too much, because I believe they're also working on different episodes for Moon Chronicles to kind of remake the entire game as a 3DS eShop game. But we'll have to wait and see. The concept looks cool enough on its own. We also got 3 free downloadable carts in Mario Kart 8 this month. They're the 3 Mercedes cars that were previously available in Japan. And I played with them a bit. They seemed to race pretty well. I wrapped up most of the 3-star 100cc cup races that I was going after, that 3-star ranking. I have one left to get. I've unlocked Mirror Mode, but Mirror Mode is kind of low on my priority list right now. But we also got confirmation of even more downloadable content for Mario Kart 8. There's going to be a couple new rounds of content. The first one is going to be in November, and it's going to have 3 new characters, Tanuki, Mario, Cat Peach, and Link from the Zelda series, 4 new vehicles, and 8 new courses. The 8 courses are broken up into 2 different cups. And the other DLC pack is going to be in May of 2015, and that's going to have 3 characters, including the Villager and Isabelle from Animal Crossing, and Dry Bowser, which is the skeleton version of Bowser. 4 new vehicles and 8 new courses broken up into 2 cups as well. And each cup is available to pre-order for $8 each, or you can bundle them both for $12. And this is a really cool deal, not only the financial part of it, but like having all of this extra content. It's basically like a whole nother half of a game that they're adding into here. So like having all this extra stuff, like having this game get continued support is really cool news. And we'll see if they actually keep going with it, or, you know, if maybe they're just going to be content with the 2 rounds of DLC, but maybe they will keep going with Mario Kart support. And the last bit of news that I wanted to discuss was that we got, there's an interview with one of the developers of Xenoblade Chronicles X, and he went ahead and dropped the little news tidbit that the world map in X is going to be 5 times larger than the world in Xenoblade Chronicles for the Wii. More than 5 times larger, in fact. And the justification he gave for this was that when you're moving around in the robot dolls, that they call them, you are basically 5 times the size of what you are as a person walking around. So they wanted to, they needed to expand the world in order to have that same sense of vastness when you're traveling in a vehicle. And this is just absolutely fucking awesome news. I loved moving around in Xenoblade Chronicles and just being part of the world and existing in it and exploring it. It was just such a really great world and environment to get swept up in. Had tremendous atmosphere and fantasy aesthetic. And it just makes me really happy that there's going to be even more of it, more than 5 times more of it in Xenoblade Chronicles X. And it is a game that I am super excited for, and even more excited for it now that I know that there's also going to be that huge vastness to it that there was in Xenoblade Chronicles. But that is going to wrap up the news. I'm going to take a quick break and then come back with some games that came out in August. The month of August started out pretty slow, but toward the end of the month here, we actually got quite a few games that are worth talking about. First up, SteamWorld Dig came out on the Wii U, which I think I'll just break this down by system. I'll do a couple of Wii U games and then end with a few 3DS games. But for the Wii U, on August 28th, we got Steamworld Dig from Image and Form, and this is an upgraded port of the 3DS version. Of course, it has HD graphics, it has your map on the gamepad, you can do entire off-TV play, all of the like little bells and whistles of having it on the Wii U console. So it's a really fun little game. It's tough to describe. You play as this little robot dude and you inherit a mine, and your objective is to dig the mine and find treasures that you use to upgrade your robot, which allows you to stay down in the mine for longer, and upgrade your weapons to allow you to plow through different types of rocks, and you get new weapons and abilities that allow you to complete little platforming challenges. But basically what you want to do is just dig down as far as you can, and there's like three different little areas that you can go into, and it really allows you to explore the game in your own way. So you can just like dig shafts straight down and use your little wall jump to climb your way back up, or you can build like networks of tunnels. My general strategy is I dig a shaft down one side and then also down the other side, like down the right wall and down the left wall, and use little tunnels to connect them at different points to make sure that I'm exploring as much as I can while not like creating confusing pathways or pathways that have a chance of intersecting each other too much to the point where it becomes a platforming challenge to get myself out of the tunnel that I've created. So the game is a bit of a slow build. You get small upgrades at first, and then you slowly are able to dig further and further, but once you really get a head of steam going, you're able to move through it fairly efficiently. And it's a really fun, addictive little game. There's that constant draw of just going back in one more time. And there are a couple of little clever ways to do it. Not only like do you have your upgrades, like, hey, you can stay down there longer next time, or you got a new weapon that you want to try out the next time, but also you have a limited amount of space in your bag, so you can't always carry all of the treasures you find with you. But what they do is they just kind of sit there down the mine. So sometimes you go out there, you empty your bag of treasures, and then you just want to go back for that one, but that leads you down a side path. You get sidetracked finding more treasures, so it has that that quality to it that keeps you coming back for more. And I recently started another run through of my 3DS version. It's $10 on the Wii U, same as the 3DS, so there's not a huge reason to rebuy it. There's no cross-buy promotion in North America like they have in Europe, but it's a solid game. It's worth getting on either platform if you've never played it before. I don't really have a reason to recommend one version over the other, although you do have the portability on the 3DS version. Most of the time I played this game at home, so the portability didn't really become a factor for me. But yeah, it's definitely a game worth getting on either Wii U or 3DS. Also out on the Wii U, this one came out on August 26th. It was the fall from Over the Moon Games. This one was also $10. And this one is a really dark, both literally and metaphorically, side-scrolling puzzle game where you play as this combat military suit that is a host suit, of course, for a human. But it's implied, directly stated, that the human inside the suit was injured in a fall from, I presume, space. You end up in this underground facility, and it's really dark. There's not a lot of light, but there's also something really sinister going on. You're finding like piles of dead robots and dead people on crosses as if they've been crucified. But your goal is to seek medical attention for the human inside the suit, and you're actually playing as the AI of this suit. So, you know, you're just moving around like a regular person, but it's told to you and it's implied that the person inside the suit is critically injured, so you want to get some medical help for them. And it is, you know, at its core a puzzle game where you're using items in appropriate places, sometimes a little bit confounding place, a little bit convoluted, the way they want you to use some items. Sometimes it's really obvious what they want you to do with an item. Sometimes it's a little bit abstract where you want to be using certain items. But that's the real core of the gameplay, is finding correct places to use these things. And there's also some pretty cool like dialogue tree stuff going on as well, where you have to answer questions or respond to things said to you in certain ways in order to progress in the game. And there's a little bit of a light combat as well. It's all cover-based. Because you're like ducking behind something, or using like the camouflage of your suit to hide for a second until the enemy stops firing. Because you're fighting little robot dudes as well, and they'll usually fire in three burst rounds. So, you know, you cover for a little bit, and then you have your chance to either appear from your camouflage or move from out of your cover and take a few shots back. The gun controls are a bit awkward. Most of the controls of the game are a little bit awkward. You're moving with the left analog stick, and the right analog stick serves a couple of functions. One, it is your flashlight. So that's how you're like searching and like looking at things. And it's after you find them with your flashlight, then you can interact with them. And you interact with them by pressing the R shoulder button. And that will give you a couple of different options to, I guess, ignore it, leave it alone, and then also to interact with it, pick it up, try to pick it up, and also to network with it. Like, say, so it's a computer that you can talk to. If you network with it, it'll give you dialogue options. So, but then to use your gun, you're also using the right analog stick to aim, the same way that you're aiming your flashlight beam, but you have to push the analog stick in. I guess it's considered your R3 button on certain controllers. And it took me a little while to figure that one out, because it's not exactly stated really explicitly how to do it. And actually, there's a certain point in the game where it will not let you move until you figure out how to use your gun. So it took me a couple of minutes to get through that. It was a little bit frustrating. But then not only are you using... You use that same trigger to aim your gun, and you have to... you press down the stick to switch back and forth between the two, but then you're using the ZR trigger to fire. So it's a different button, and it takes a little while to get used to which shoulder button, because by the time you get your gun, you're very instinctually using the one shoulder button, and it wants you to use another one for a different function. And sometimes you got to be careful with the way you're using the gun, because if you just kind of like twitch tap the trigger, a lot of times you are moving your analog stick in a way that throws off your aim, because you have to keep that analog stick pointed in a certain direction, whether it be straight forward or a little bit up, in order to keep that aiming active. If you just let go of the analog stick, your aiming will go away. So the controls can be a bit awkward. Remapping them could have done this game a lot of good, but you do eventually get used to it. And the game is really just all about solving the puzzle, which the gun comes into play not only in combat, but also if there's something too far away from you, you can sometimes use the gun in order to knock something loose and bring it down to you. So it also comes into some of the puzzle elements as well. It's got a really cool visual style. It's very atmospheric. It's got a real nice horror vibe, a very creepy vibe to it. It's not easy. Some of the puzzles, like I said before, are a little bit convoluted. They take a little bit of a leap in logic. Sometimes your best bet is to just try to use all of your objects on everything that you come across. And sometimes you'll find a solution. Some of the spots that you're supposed to interact with, to where, you know, you'd have to use an item or, you know, fire your gun, certain things, are hidden and only allow you to see them after you've completed certain tasks. So if you're moving through a certain area and can't seem to figure something out, and then you do figure something out but can't really figure out what to do from there, a lot of times looking around again will help. Looking around again with your flashlight, because it will open up a new interact spot or a new object you can interact with, which can be a little frustrating, especially since there is one point in the game where I guess maybe it had been cropped a little bit funny for the Wii U version, because the thing that I was supposed to interact with was on a ceiling, but you could just barely make out the bottom of the little icon that will let you know that you can interact with it when you shine your flashlight on it. So that was something that If I hadn't watched a video, I would never have known that I could interact with something right there. But those, other than, you know, a couple of little complaints about the controls and about how the game reveals things as you progress, it's a pretty cool little game. I think it's definitely worth a shot, especially if you like the sort of adventure or puzzle type games. And it just the atmosphere alone, the creepiness, makes it worth experimenting with a little bit. So before I move on to the 3DS, I'll just go through some of the Wii U Virtual Console games that came out this month. We got Mega Man Battle Network, Super Mario Kart, Cybernator, Mega Man 5, Mega Man Battle Chip Challenge, Life Force, Mega Man 6, Donkey Kong Jr. Meth, and Mega Man X3. Quite a few Capcom games, but I'm not going to buy them because fuck those guys. Actually, at some point I'll probably download Mega Man X2 and X3 because those cartridges are fucking expensive. So, you know, quite a few solid little games if you're into Mega Man. Clearly Capcom is not, because they don't make Mega Man games anymore, but these should be able to hold you over until, you know, they decide to make another one 20 years from now or so. On the 3DS, we got a couple of solid little downloadable games as well, and that's pretty much what I've been playing the last couple weeks, is downloadable games on the Wii U and the 3DS. On the 3DS, we got Demon King Box from Circle Entertainment. This one came out on August 21st for $4. And this is a line defense RPG that forgoes depth of combat for depth of customization. So, if you've never played a line defense game before, there's a game where there's quite a few installments on it that you can get for free on phones and stuff. But basically, you got, I'll just boil it down to the most basic level here. There are three lines between you and your enemy, and you're spawning troops that you can choose from a pool of troops. And then what your troops are doing is marching down that line and charging toward the enemy, and your enemy is doing the same thing. So most of the time, your objective in these missions of the game is just to kill an X number of enemy troops. So you're not actually going after, you're not trying to get your guys to the end. What you want to do is spawn troops on the same lines that the enemy is spawning troops. So, and then there are, of course, other missions where you actually are trying to kill a large enemy at the end, in which case, you know, you're spawning troops with the intention of them getting all the way to the end and hacking away at the large enemy, which has a lot more HP. So there's some economy management going on as well. There is basically a battery, let's put it that way, a battery that charges up, starts with a zero charge, and each troop that you can spawn costs a certain amount of charge to it. So, and the more enemies you're killing, the faster your battery is going to charge. So there's strategy into what troops you're taking in terms of how much they cost and how much damage they're going to be able to do, and how many enemies they're going to be being able to take out themselves in order to give you more of that charge in order to spawn more troops. And a lot of times you're playing strategically enough, by the time you get a good momentum going, you're not even having to worry about what your charge limit is. You're just going to be able to spit out troop after troop after troop. So, and then there's also an upgrade system. So each troop has a max level of 6 or 7, and with each level, they're getting more attack, they're getting more HP, they're getting more defense, that kind of thing. That's where the RPG elements come into it. And each particular troop will have a certain specialty. You'll have your melee troops, you'll have like your slimes, which are very cheap but don't do much damage, but you're able to spawn a lot of them quickly. You have like your archers, and you have like your little succubus girls, which can paralyze enemies as they're incoming, which of course leave them vulnerable to attacks. So there's a ton of different type of units, and mixing and matching them to find an ideal team for your style of play is a lot of fun. It can be just a little bit grindy. A lot of times I would replay missions one or two times after I initially beat them. So I play each mission about two or three times. And that generally got me enough of the food in order to keep my units upgraded that I wanted to upgrade. But in addition to your individual units, there's also your commanding officer, and your commanding officer has abilities of their own, which also charge up during battle, and you can upgrade them as well. And that upgrades their HP, basically the amount of damage they can take, as well as unlock new abilities, which will power up certain units, enhance the abilities of certain units, that kind of thing. So mixing and matching your commanding officer will also have a large part in the strategy of the troops that you're taking. So the game, it's nothing really spectacular to look at. It's fine. A lot of times I was just staring at the bottom screen at those three lines, because it's also like a little radar. It tells you where your enemies are spawning, so you can spawn counter troops there appropriately. And most of the time I was just staring at that bottom screen, keeping track of what my enemy was doing. And I'll just take this one little side note, because I mentioned before that there were three lines, and I was just trying to mention just the bare basics of the game. There are actually five. There are very large units that generally cost more than your smaller units that you can spawn, but they don't spawn on the regular three lines. They kind of spawn in between the lines, so they can attack on multiple lines, and your enemies can spawn them as well. But it's not really a huge intricacy to the game. It's just easier to explain after the fact. So it doesn't really alter the way you're going to plan too much. It's just when you spawn one of them, it's a good defense, because it can protect two lines for you. So there's a lot of different strategies that you can use. I mentioned the slime rush. There's also really defensive guys. You can just wall up, throw out guys with really high HP but very low attack, and pull a lot of archers behind them. There's a lot of different ways you can play the game, and it's a pretty cool little game for $4. There is a decent amount of content, and I wrapped up the main story of the game, which was damn near inexplicable because of a bad localization. But I wrapped up the main story mode of the game in about 6 or 7 hours, and then there are a good amount of missions after the main story that open up, which are harder. You complete like the story mode of the game, and it gives like a 75% completion, and the last 25% is post game stuff. So a good fourth of the amount of the good fourth of the game is post game content, which is pretty cool. The other 3DS game that I've been playing a lot of is Azure Striker Gunvolt, which came out on August 29th. This one is $15 from Inti Creates, and this is a side-scrolling action game akin to Mega Man. The major difference between this and Mega Man is that you're not using your gun as your main weapon. Basically, your gun is used to tag enemies, and the more tags you put on them, the more damage you can do with your electricity attack. So you have your tiny little gun, and then you have like this radial electricity damage that goes around your character in a circle. And every enemy you've tagged with this electricity, you're going to zap them with lightning. There's also specials that you can use as well to have a big sword that you can like drop in front of you, like a big electricity sword. The game itself is fairly rudimentary in the way you maneuver and platform in it. There's no slide. You don't really duck. The platforming is never really that complex. There's a couple of things where you're using your electricity to move magnetized platforms. And there's a couple of like little sections of the game where you're having to platform upside down. But the platforming isn't really the main focus of the game. It's more about the combat and being able to tag multiple enemies and take them out all at once. That's the main fun of the game. There's some customization to it. There are different like types of armors and guns that your character can wear. For example, there's a different gun that you can get that you can charge up, and when you do, your bullets will actually fly through one enemy into another, so you can tag two guys at once, that kind of thing. There's also a double jump that you can get. And like, you know, all of these abilities and attacks that you're doing, well, just like in and Demon King Box, they have a cost to them. So you start with like a 100% charge to your battery, and if you execute a double jump, it's going to do a minus 30%. And while you're doing like your radial electricity damage, your battery is going to continually drain. So the longer you have that going, the lower your energy is going to get. And you start off with this piece of equipment to where, while you at least have charge to your battery, you're not taking damage. It's instead doing damage to your percentage, your battery charge. So it's to your advantage to keep your battery as charged as possible. And you can do that a couple different ways. You can just let it recharge, or you can double tap down, and that will do a quick recharge for you, which is something that I use liberally. But it's a pretty cool game. I think it's definitely more appropriate for a download title. If this was like a full retail game, I might consider it a bit shallow, but since it's downloadable for like half the price or a fraction of the price of a retail game, it's definitely something that I can get a lot out of. And it does have quite a bit of replayability to it, because you have your six main missions, and there are also side missions that open up. And when you complete them, you'll get different challenges, like defeat the mini-boss of this particular level without using a special ability, that kind of thing. Or defeat a certain amount of enemies with your electricity at one time. Or defeat a particular level within a certain amount of time. Or get a certain grade at a certain level. So if you, and that will give you material to build or synthesize more equipment. So there's some reward to doing it aside from the completionist aspect to it. So it's a game that is fairly simple to jump into, but it's got a lot of meat in there if you're doing all the challenges. So the last 3DS game that I've been spending a bit of time with is Mighty Gunvolt, which came out on the 29th, the same day as Azure Striker Gunvolt, because this is a free game that came out with Azure Striker Gunvolt from Inti Creates. And this is a game that when you download Azure Striker, they give you a free download code to get it on your receipt, which if you missed out on it, you can always go into your account activity in your 3DS eShop and look at your receipt, and your code will be there. So you'll be able to redeem that at any time. And this is a game where you can play as three different characters. You can play as Gunvolt, you can play as Beck from Mighty No. 9, and you also play as the girl from a game called Gun Gal. And you play through, it's four or five little 8-bit levels. And this game is also very, very rudimentary. We're not talking like Mega Man 9 or 10 levels of intricacy here. This is really bare bones. This is clearly a quick little side project that they put together as a reward for people who buy their game. And it's cool that they did it. And this game is worth playing through. I played through to the end with each of the three characters. It gives you three save slots. And once you select your character, you're kind of locked in with that character with that particular save slot. So if you want to play as all three, you got to use all three of your slots, which is fine. It's pretty cool to see a lot of the enemies and bosses from Azure Striker redone in 8-bit. It's kind of fun to see all that going on. It's fairly forgiving. There's a lot of HP health items, and also a lot of one-ups. I don't think I game overed once while playing through Mighty Gunvolt, but it was cool to go through the game a couple of times. One thing that they do in order to keep things a little bit fresh is they mix up the order of levels depending on what character you're playing as. So you're not, it doesn't feel like you're playing the exact same thing over and over again, even though you are. Shuffling things around makes it feel a little bit fresher each time. Also, each character has their own particular set of skills, which makes it feel fresh as you're going through. And there's even like some little areas that only certain characters can access. So for example, Beck from Mighty No. 9 is the only character who can slide, and Gunvolt is the only character who can double jump, and the girl from Gun Gal can float in the air for a little bit. So and she can also convert enemies and have them like follow behind her and shoot your enemies, so it gives you a little bit of extra firepower there. So it's a pretty nice little addition. It's a nice little free addition to the game. now that I've been through it with every character, I'll probably won't go back to it. But yeah, it's I mean, it's absolutely free. So if you're getting a Zor Striker, which you absolutely should, it's definitely worth checking that out as well. So also out this month on the 3DS was Professor Layton versus Phoenix Wright from Level 5, which is a game that I did not get. I haven't played a Professor Layton game since The Unwound Future, and I keep thinking that I'm going to get back into the series and pick up Miracle Mask now that it can get a little bit cheaper, but I just keep getting distracted by all of the other downloadable stuff that I can get, and I will eventually get back into the series, and I want to take on the other two Professor Layton games before I get into Phoenix Wright, because I've never played a Phoenix Wright game to completion either, so I kind of want to dabble a little bit in the series before I get into the crossover. But the game seems to be reviewing fairly well. It seems to be a competent back-to-back duo of those particular game styles, but I want to get through some other stuff before I jump into that one. On the 3DS Virtual Console, we got The Mysterious Muramasa Castle and Extreme Sports. That's it. It's a little bit disappointing, but there it is. So I'm going to take one more break and then come back with a preview of September. The busy season for Nintendo games kicked off a little bit early at the end of August, but things are going to keep on rolling in September, not only on the eShop, but also on the retail side of things. First up, Tesla Grad is coming to the Wii Shop on September 11th. This one is developed by the Rain Games. We got confirmation of this just a few days ago. Now, this one is a 2D puzzle platformer that uses magnetism and electricity to solve different puzzles and maneuver throughout the world. It has a really cool, sort of moody industrial style visuals. You play as like this little kid, and at the beginning of the game, you're under this threat of pursuit while you're trying to do this platforming. And I was watching a little bit of the game, and it's pretty cool because it seems like you gain items and powers that allow you to tackle different types of puzzles. Like, I was watching this one section of the game where you're using a magnet glove in order to magnetize different blocks and platforms to move them out of your way or to ride. So it seems like it's a pretty cool little game. Definitely my type of game with like the 2D and the platforming and the puzzle aspect to it. This one definitely seems right up my alley. I don't think we've gotten confirmation of a price just yet, but it's just about a week away now, and I'm pretty sure by then I'll have wrapped up Azure Striker and The Fall and a couple of like the other download games that I'm trying to plug away at. But this one is definitely on my radar, and I think the price would have to be pretty outrageous for me not to get it at this point. I think it's definitely one that I'm going to get. Then on September 16th, we are getting Theater Rhythm Final Fantasy Curtain Call for the 3DS. This one is, of course, from Square Enix. And this is more Theater Rhythm, which is a game that I had some very nice things to say about when it came out, I believe, in June or July of 2012, kind of the summer of a couple of years ago. And it's got 200 songs, 60 playable characters, a couple of different modes, including a quest melody mode, in which you accept different quests in order to unlock more characters. I'm not exactly sure what those quests will entail. Maybe it's just like complete a particular section of a song with 100% accuracy, that kind of thing. Maybe, perhaps, we'll see. It's also going to have a verse mode where you compete for a high score, but in doing so, you're also able to inflict like status ailments on the other player. So it's not just a matter of who can play the song more perfectly. It's also like has that competitive nature to it as well, where you can do things to fuck up the other person, which is pretty cool. It's also going, of course, to have a lot of DLC, which Square Enix made very liberal use of in the first one. I never really did dip into the DLC of Theater Rhythm. There's probably a bunch of really cool Final Fantasy songs that I would play, but it's got such a wide selection just in the regular package that DLC doesn't seem absolutely necessary, which is nice. It's actually a really good thing that it seems to be completely optional like that. There's also a limited edition, or a limited collector's edition of the game, which has a really nice box to it. It, of course, comes with the game, a CD, a case, and some cards, some art cards. And it's for $70, and I think it's a really limited run. I think they're only doing 5,000 prints of it, and who knows, it might be sold out already by now. But It's a pretty cool little package that they put together. I don't know that I'd pay $70 for it personally, but you know, it is a really cool little collector's edition. I wouldn't blame anyone for doing it. It definitely has a collector's appeal to it. But yeah, Theater Rhythm is a definite buy. It looks really, really cool, and it has all that really cool Final Fantasy music, and I think like music from kind of spin-offs of Final Fantasy as well, not just the mainline series. So yeah, definitely a game that I will be picking up. And finally, on September 26th for the Wii U, we are getting Hyrule Warriors, which is of course the crossover of Dynasty Warriors and The Legend of Zelda. And this game has had a really interesting path to completion here. It was announced at a Nintendo Direct. Let me try to remember if I'm getting my dates right. I don't think it was the beginning of this year. I think it was a January Direct a couple of years ago, if I remember correctly. I don't know, but that seems to be like a long time to be in the works. Maybe it was more recently than that. But this game has gone from people being really down on it to actually having some decent buzz around it. People seem to be getting more and more excited for this game as we learn more and as we're getting closer to the release. I was a little bit indifferent to the game at first. I probably had already planned on getting it simply because there aren't a whole lot of retail Wii U games that come out, and also because the Zelda series is involved, so I'd probably give it a shot either way. But I went from like being I'll get it to being actually pretty excited for this game. It looks like it's going to be really cool. It's got a lot of playable characters, a lot of different fighting styles. The adventure mode looks really cool, using like that the 2D Zelda map to kind of represent your progress in the adventure mode. And also it's got two-player co-op. It doesn't have online co-op, which is a little bit disappointing, but it does have like the dual screen co-op. And they've said that the developers have said that, you know, playing one person on the gamepad, one person on the TV is going to hurt the resolution a little bit. But it's just really cool that, you know, you're not dealing with a split screen. You're just able to go with one person on the gamepad, the other person on the TV. I guess so the person with the gamepad could screen peek a little bit, but you'll have to like use your radar. It's going to feel like a bit more of a cooperative experience because you actually have to communicate with the other person rather than just kind of looking at their screen and saying, okay, well, I'm going to come over there and help you right now. You'll actually have to tell someone, hey, I need help, or, you know, can you go run and do this real quick? So that kind of like cooperative experience seems to be really appealing to me. And Wes has had some experience with the Dynasty Warriors series as well. So I'm looking forward to getting a co-op going with him, and hopefully we'll be able to discuss that at the tail end of next month on our September official show. So let's hope that the scheduling stars align for that one. other than that, this is going to have a day one DLC. It's going to have the, of course, retail exclusive costumes, depending on where you buy it. But Nintendo has revealed that those costumes are going to be available as downloadable content sold separately later on. So you won't have to worry about which DLC or which retailer you want to go to, depending on what DLC. You'll be able to get them all eventually if you really want them. Also, you'll have the Club Nintendo Ganon costume, extra costume that you can unlock for Origin with Club Nintendo. So this game, we'll see if it gets supported with more DLC other than costumes. I believe there's also a new mode that I believe will be available as day one DLC. I don't know, I can't remember correctly, if that is going to be paid DLC or if it'll just be free day one. But hopefully, we know, we'll continue to get some support for this game as well. Maybe an extra playable character too, or a couple extra missions here or there. That would be kind of cool. But yeah, I'm really excited for Hyrule Warriors. This is going to be a game that I'm probably going to be putting a lot of time into until Bayonetta 1 and 2 come out. But yet it's definitely one that I didn't figure I would be as excited for it as I am. And, you know, it's not like I don't have anything else that I could be playing. There's been a lot of downloadable games recently that I could be sinking my time into, but this is definitely one that's going to be getting most of my attention when it comes out. So I think that will wrap up this show for today. I'm not going to do a GBA corner, even though I do have one or two games that I could talk about. I'm going to wait for next month and do a bit more of a blowout GBA corner with a bunch of different games, simply because I know that Wes and Ryan also have a couple of GBA games to talk about. So I'm going to wait for them. Hopefully, like I said before, the schedule lines up a little bit better the next time around. Next week, actually probably just in a couple of days over the weekend, we're going to try to get together for a Pokemon show. We're going to rank the bug types, and we're keeping our fingers crossed that the three of us will be able to be together for that show. I'm definitely not going to rank the bugs solo. That would be really, really boring, probably even more boring than the show is. And then after the Pokemon show, we'll have the mini show where we just talk about some random games, and then the Super Nintendo show. We got a couple of pretty cool Super Nintendo games on tap for that, and then wrap it all up with the official show at the end of the month. So until then, everybody, if you want to find me on Miiverse, I'll throw out my Miiverse handle. It is Johnnyboy, JonnyBoy. Find me on Miiverse if you listen. Shoot me a friend request or give me a follow. If you're shooting me a friend request, just put in the message that you listen to the show, and I will know exactly what you mean. And you will, of course, I will, of course, accept the friendship from all the cool people who listen to the show. So until next time, everybody.